The Apostle Paul said, "Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all." Let's bow forward to prayer. Father in heaven, Lord, as we come before you, we thank you, Lord, for your word today. We thank you, Lord, for the songs that we've heard. And Lord, for the presence of each and every one. But most of all, Lord, we're thankful for your word that tells us where two or more are together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And so, Lord, we thank you for your presence today. We ask and pray, Lord, that you just work in our lives. Lord, draw us close to you. Help us, Lord, to see ourselves as we truly are before you. And Lord, I pray if there's someone that's lost, I pray, Lord, that they get saved. Guide and direct now. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. You know, throughout life, each and every one of us are faced with some holy obligations. Today we recognize graduates, and graduation is not just a time when everything's over. Actually, it's just a brand new beginning for you as far as life goes. It's an ending of one thing as far as your elementary, middle school, and high school, and all that's behind you. But it's not the end of life. Certainly it is just the beginning of life. I'm certain most of us as adults, we would actually prefer to go back and maybe do it over again and at least be that young again. But the obligations of high school, now that you've got your diploma, it's over. Probably thankful for that. But you know, from the earliest years of life, we're all filled with obligations. We really are. But there's an obligation I want to start with today as we talk about some holy obligations. Let me remind you that God loves you so much that He sent His Son into a sinful world to die on the cross, to bleed and to suffer and to be rejected of men. And He died in your place and He died in my place, that He might provide a perfect salvation for whosoever will. And today, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, I believe that you have an obligation to get saved. After all that Jesus Christ has done for you, after all that God has done, you have an obligation not to reject God's sacrifice, not to reject God's gift. You have an obligation to receive God's gift and to become a child of God. Amen? You have an obligation to come and know Christ. But as I look out on the auditorium, as I do every Sunday, most of us here claim to know the Lord as our Savior. So as a child of God, what are some Christian obligations that I need to have in my life? As I said, obligations start from the very youngest of times. From the earliest of years, we're obligated to listen to our parents. Amen, parents? We're obligated to make our bed and to take out the trash and to feed the dog and to mow the grass and go to school and to do your homework, and the list goes on and on. I heard a person one time say, "Well, I'm sick of all the rules at the house. I'm sick and tired of listening to Mom and Dad. I'm sick and tired of listening to the preacher. I'm sick and tired of listening to my school teachers. I'm tired of listening to everybody. I'm just going to leave and go join the army." I thought, you're an idiot. They thought they were going to get away from a house and not have any more obligations by joining the army. You know, if you go and join the military, there's a lot of obligations. Some people think, well, if I get married, I'll get rid of those obligations. No, you get more. Besides all of the above, now you're obligated to a spouse, you're obligated to a job, you're obligated to the IRS, you're obligated to a landlord, a bank, a mortgage company. You're obligated to put food on the table, and the obligations just go on and on and on. Wherever you go, you will have obligations. Y'all with me? Say amen. Wherever you go, you're going to have obligations. Join the military, you've got obligations. Go to college, you've got obligations. Get married, you've got obligations. Have children, you've got obligations. Join a church, you've got obligations. Teach a Sunday school class, sing in a choir, you've got obligations. Wherever you go, whatever you do, you're going to find that you're going to have obligations, that you're going to have to go ahead and do the best that you can to meet those obligations. You say, it doesn't sound like life's a whole lot of fun. Oh, it can be. But we need to take joy in obligations. Listen, graduates, it's not the end, it's just the beginning. Now, some of your obligations are past. It's too late to turn in that last term paper that you forgot about, right? Those obligations are over. A while back, I was going through some old paperwork. I found a copy of an old newsletter, The Earnest Contender. And it was published in March of 2004. Inside of there was a picture of Evangelist Dwayne Rutherford. 3 weeks after the publication, he went home to glory. On the inside of the newsletter, there was a verse that was his life's text verse. I want to give it to you. Philippians 2:16. Not only was it in the newsletter, if you go over to Clay Township Cemetery where he's buried, on his tombstone, you'll find this verse. Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. In this verse, I believe that Brother Dwayne realized that he had a holy obligation, holding forth the Word of Life. Holding forth the Word of Life. So that he didn't run or labor in vain. This morning, I want you to look at what the Apostle Paul had to say to the church of Philippi. Now, let me remind you, out of Paul's epistles, they're divided up. There were Paul's epistles to, like, for example, the Romans and the Galatians. There were, if you would, kind of general epistles to churches that Paul wrote. And then there were what was called pastoral epistles. 1 and 2 Timothy, the book of Titus, were pastoral epistles written to pastors specifically about the work and the ministry of the church. And then there was what was called the prison epistles. This is where Paul was actually in prison and he was writing from prison. Philippians was a prison epistle. It was when he was incarcerated, he was beaten, he did not have freedom to be able to do what he wanted to do. And I think that's important as we look at this passage. Now, let's look at it again. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain, yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. I want you to notice these holy obligations that Paul, and remember, Paul was in prison. And he said, I joy and I rejoice with you all. Now, if you were in prison today, you probably wouldn't be rejoicing. But the Apostle Paul was rejoicing because there were people that were doing the right thing. And by the way, when people do the right thing, the children of God ought to rejoice. Amen? But this morning, I want you to notice this morning six things out of this passage of Scripture that I believe as Paul is writing to the church of Philippi, he reminds them about their holy obligations. As a child of God, here are some things that we ought to be doing. We're obligated to do these things. Amen? Look at verse number 12, if you would. That's where we're going to begin. What is my holy obligation before God as a child of God? Number one, verse number 12 tells me this. I ought to be busy for God. I ought to be busy for God. It says, wherefore, my beloved, he's talking to saved people, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. What's the next few words? Next, it says, work out. Notice your Bible does not say work for your salvation with fear and trembling. It says you're to work out your salvation. In other words, you are to build upon it. You're to perfect that which God has given to you. We're to work it out. It is our obligation. We're to be busy. What are we busy doing? We're to be busy building upon that which Christ has already established. The Bible says, other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. If any man build thereon, gold, silver, and precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble. We're to be busy building upon what Jesus Christ has established, and that is our salvation. You know, if you get saved and that's as far as you go, thank God you'll be in heaven. But God wants you to go a little bit farther than just John 3:16. Thank the Lord for John 3:16. Amen? Not minimizing that one bit. But I think as a child of God, we ought to go beyond just salvation and we ought to grow in Christ. The Bible says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. It says in 2 Peter 3 and verse number 18, but grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We are to build upon that which God has given us. We are to work it out. We're not to work for it. We're to work it out. What are we to build? Look, if you would please, in 2 Peter chapter number 1. Hold your place here in the book of Philippians. 2 Peter chapter number 1. And look at verse number 3. It says, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him. By the way, if you're lacking something in your life, you need to go to the Word of God. And you need to apply the Word of God to your life. Because the Bible says that He can give you all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him. So if you're coming up short in your Christian life, get into the book. Know the book. Apply the book to your life. And then all of a sudden, you're going to start seeing God's blessings in your life. If you are coming up short in your life, and I'll tell you, there's probably one thing that's really lacking. It's probably the Word of God. And I find this from 27 years of ministry and 27 years of counseling. When people have problems, it's because, number one, the Word of God is not there like it should be. Almost always. Almost always. I want you to notice, it says that He's given us all things pertaining to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that called us to glory and virtue. Now notice what we're supposed to add to our salvation. Listen, the child of God is supposed to be busy. We've probably all heard the statement, idle hands are the devil's workshop. You know the Bible says we're not supposed to give place to the devil? Don't give him an inch of your life. Because if you give him an inch, he'll take a mile. It says in verse number 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, give all diligence. It means give it 100%. Add to your faith what? Virtue. Add to your faith virtue. moral excellence. That's what that's in reference to. And to virtue, knowledge. And to knowledge, temperance. And to temperance, patience. And to patience, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is what? That's an interesting word, that word blind. If you look up that word blind, it means to have opaque vision. You ever look through stained glass? Or you ever look through what's called milk glass? You can see light coming through, but you really can't make out the image. It's opaque. Before my last Springer Spaniel died, he got cataracts. His eyes were gray. Part of sugar diabetes that he had. And I asked the doctor, I said, is there anything we can do? He says, no. He says, he can see somewhat. It's like looking through milk glass. See light and dark. I says, yeah, but the problem is sometimes he hits the wall. He walks right into a wall or something. It was pretty sad. And he says, well, that's because he can't distinguish light from dark. Where the wall ends and stops. That's what this is talking about, opaque vision. And the child of God that does not add these things in their life and they do not abound in these things, they have opaque vision. And if you have opaque vision, that means you have no depth perception. May I just make I look at America. One of the problems with America today, people have no depth perception. That's just my call on it. And you might say, well, Pastor, you're all wrong. I could be. But I think that people today, they don't have the depth perception and they don't have eternity in focus. Because of that, people make foolish decisions. What does the Bible say? We're to be busy. Busy adding to our faith. We're to be busy. Ephesians chapter number 6 and verse number 10 says, put on the whole armor of God to be able to stand against the evil day and having done all to stand. We're to put on the armor of God. We're to be busy. Every day when I get up, I need to put on the armor of God and not just one piece. Everybody likes the sword of the Spirit, right? The sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. And a lot of times people will like to take the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit, and say, hey, come here, let me carve all those bad things off of you, you know. But the child of God, it says, put on the whole armor of God. In Ephesians chapter number 6, verse 10 through verse number 17, you'll actually find that phrase several times. Put on the whole armor of God. And we ought to be busy putting on the whole armor, not just that special piece that you like. They'll put on the whole armor. Luke chapter number 19, verse number 13 says, Jesus said, occupy till I come. The word occupy means to be busy. It doesn't mean just to take up space. Now there are some Christians that have interpreted it that way. I'm just going to take up space until Jesus comes. I think we'll have regrets when we stand before God if all we do is just take up space as a Christian. We ought to be busy. We ought to be busy serving God. Busy in the harvest fields. The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that He would send forth laborers into His harvest. There's a little girl in heaven today by the name of Skylar Lewis. Because two people decided to go out and knock on doors and pass out gospel tracts. They took time out of their busy schedule. And by the way, Joe was working between 50 and 60 hours a week and still out knocking on doors. They knocked on Skylar's door, got Skylar to come to Vacation Bible School, and during VBS, she got saved. And a year later, she's in heaven. I'm telling you, we ought to be busy because the harvest is ripe and it's white already to harvest. That phrase that I'm going to be talking about tonight in John chapter number 4 and verse number 35, white already, it means it's ready to fall to the ground. It's so ripe. We've got boys and girls and moms and dads and friends and people all around us that are ready to step off into eternity. And you know what? We need to be busy. We need to be busy trying to reach people for Christ. Paul says, work out your own salvation. It's our obligation to be busy for it as a child of God. Jesus said, in part, as far as the Great Commission, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You know, we put all these missionary letters out there on the board. I hope you take time to read those and to look at those. We've got our missionary prayer list on Wednesday night. I hope you take time and pray for those missionaries on a regular basis. Do you know our missionaries in Mexico? Do you know our missionaries in China? Do you know our missionaries in the Philippines? There's one of them, I can't pronounce his name, but I call it out the best I can every week, and I pray for him. We need to make sure that we know those missionaries. We pray for them. Why? Because there's people all around the world that need to know Christ. I think we are obligated to be busy. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That's an obligation. Look at Philippians chapter number 2. Look at verse number 13 and 14. And by the way, as we're working out, Paul told the Philippians, don't grumble about it. Everybody can gripe and grumble, can't we? We do that probably best out of everything. If there was an award for grumbling and griping, we'd probably all have the Medal of Honor, wouldn't we? Paul said in verse number 13, for it is God which worketh in you both to do and to will and to do of His good pleasure. Verse 14, do all things without murmurings and disputings. That tells me in verse 14, obligation number 2, be thankful. Be thankful. Everybody can grumble and gripe, and in our society it's everybody else's fault. But the Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 18, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I was talking to the grandma and grandpa of Skylar, and I said, you know, it's really hard to give thanks at a situation like this. But I said, she was 8 years old, and now she's in heaven. Think of all the agony and the pain that she's never going to have to deal with. That's something to be thankful for. Think of all the trouble that she'll never have to deal with. Think of all the pain that she'll never have to endure. By the time she gets to be our age, we go through a lot, don't we? I wonder what God spared her from. Maybe a horrible disease. You say, well, you don't know that. That's right, I don't, neither do you. Only God does. Maybe being bedridden all of her life. What would have happened if she was injured and pretty much the vegetable the rest of her life? God was merciful. Taking a child to heaven, you say, but it's not fair. May I remind you, we live in a sin-cursed world. And ever since Adam and Eve sinned against God, life has not been fair. It's all a part of the curse. I'll tell you what's not fair. Leaving this place lost. That's not fair after all that Jesus Christ has done for you. Amen? Amen. But I want to remind you that we are to be busy. We are to be busy. And then we are to be thankful. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Ephesians 5:20. Colossians 3:17, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. You know, one of the signs of the last generation is that people are going to be unholy, unthankful. And we're there today. Nobody's thankful for anything anymore, it seems like. I shouldn't say nobody, because there are some that are thankful, but as a whole. So our obligations as a child of God, we are to be busy, we are to be thankful. Look at verse number 15. Notice Paul gives his obligations. It says that he tells them in verse 14, do all things without murmurings and disputings, that. And that word, that, connects verse number 14 to verse number 15, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. Aren't you tired of all the junk that goes on in Washington? I'm so sick and tired of hearing about this IRS thing. Fire them all. Fire them all. Start over. Make a flat tax and have everybody just send their taxes in on a postcard. Amen? That'd probably solve a lot of problems. I want you to notice it says, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, what are we supposed to do? Shine as lights in the world. We are to shine as lights. So that tells me I'm going to be busy, I'm going to be thankful, and I'm going to be right. It is my obligation. It is my obligation to be right. I am to shine as a light in this dark world. In the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, I am to shine as the light of God. Be right. Jesus said in Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. May I remind you, if you're to shine the light of Christ, you're not going to shine it very bright sitting inside of a bar drinking a beer. You're not going to shine as a light sitting there reading one of those pornographic magazines. It's not going to happen. You're not going to shine the light of Christ. If you live like the world and talk like the world, you are not going to be able to shine the light of Christ. If your life is filled full of darkness, the Bible says, how great is that darkness? The Bible tells us that we are to be right. In 1 Peter 2 and verse 12, it says, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they may speak against you as evildoers, they may behold your good works, which they behold and glorify God in the day of visitation. Now, there may be times when you might disagree with me, and that's all right. Just don't get disagreeable over your disagreement, all right? But I hope that I'm never accused of being an evildoer. If I am ever accused of being an evildoer, if I'm an evildoer, it's time for you to get another pastor. Amen? There's too many guys or gals that are out there in the ministry that are crooks and swindlers, evildoers. We're to be right. Having our conversation, our lifestyle, honest among the Gentiles. Listen, the child of God, it's our obligation to be honest. Be honest. And then look at verse 16. What is my obligation? Holding forth the word of life. Right here. Holding forth the word of life. From about 8:30 in the morning yesterday until about 9 o'clock at night, I was busy. Most of the day was out knocking on doors and witnessing to people and going to the jail and visiting people, talking to people about the Lord and trying to help people. And every time I knocked on a door and every time I witnessed to somebody and every time I visited somebody, you know what I did? I said, this is what we need to do. Hold forth the word of life. You see, there's a reason. This has got the answer. This book has got the answer. And when we repeat what the book says, we've got the answer. Holding forth the word of life. It is a beacon to the lost world. The Bible says, Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. We need to hold this beacon out to a lost and a dying world. Why? Because they're dying without Christ in darkness, and they need to know the light of Christ. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Let's go ahead and take the light of the world to the lost world, amen, which is Jesus Christ. We're to be radiant. Matthew 5:14 says, You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. How well do you shine? In Proverbs 4 and verse number 18, listen to what it says. The path of the just is as a shining light. The path of the just is a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. How well do you shine? Maybe we ought to start a new slogan. Let's glow for Jesus. Amen? Let's be radiant. And then verse number 16, the last part of that says, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ. That tells me as a child of God, my obligation is not only to be radiant, holding forth the word of life, I need to be expectant. As I hold forth the word of life, God's going to do the work. Amen? The results are not up to me. The results are up to God. God promised that He would do the work. All I need to do is hold forth the word of life. All I need to do is present the gospel. Jesus Christ does the new birth. Amen? He does, the Holy Spirit does the conviction. I just need to hold forth the word of life. But I need to be expectant. Expectant about the future. You know, the Apostle Paul said, there is that eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor is entered into the heart of men, the things that God hath prepared for them that love Him. You know, I look forward to heaven. I really do. I'm expectant. There are some things that I long for when I get to glory. I long to see my Savior, first of all. And right after that, I want to see my mom and dad. I want to see my grandma. Haven't talked to her since 1988. I want to see my uncles. I want to talk to Brother Rutherford again. He was my friend. I want to talk to so many of the Christians that we've seen that have come and gone here at the church. I want to see Don Cowell again, that big old bear. He was just a big old guy. He'd come up, hey, preacher, he'd give you a big old bear hug. I look forward to seeing Brother Don, seeing Brother Bill again, seeing Marge and Jean, so many of them, seeing Phyllis Rice. Paul said, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me in that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love is appearing. He was expectant. In 1 Corinthians 9:25, he said, every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. He was expectant about his rewards when he got there. In 1 Peter 1:4, it says, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Paul was expectant about what God had in store for him. And as a child of God, one of my obligations is I ought to live an expectant life, realizing that God has got a blessing for me, not only here and now, but God's got a blessing for me when we get to the other side. And then, look at verse 16, the last part of that verse. What's my obligation? My obligation is to be wise. Be wise. It says that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Jesus said in John 6:27, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. In Mark chapter number 8, verse 36 and 37, it says, For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? I think that too many people are laboring for things that just doesn't make any difference. Laboring to be rich. Why? Can't take it with you. All the funerals that I've done, I've never seen a U-Haul in the procession. You just can't take it with you. Well, yesterday was garage sale day in Oak Harbor. Yesterday and the day before. Let me give you my definition of garage sale days. It's a day when we get rid of all of our junk to somebody else that wants to buy our junk. That tells me everybody's got too much junk. Now, there's some good stuff that people had out there, you know, and things that they don't need anymore, and I understand that. But, you know, I think we got way too much stuff. And I find that the more stuff we have, the more that stuff has us. We can't do what we need to do because I've got to take care of my stuff. I can't go to church because my stuff needs me. I can't go ahead and be with my family and I can't take care of things. I can't read my Bible and pray because my stuff is not letting me. Beware of stuff. It's evil. The Bible says we're to be wise. Don't labor only to have it end up in vanity. Don't run the race that life has set before you, that God has set before you, only to find out that you're on the wrong track. Be wise. The Apostle Paul said, I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. And then we just close with this. Verse number 17. May I remind you, once again, Paul was in prison. He was not in prison because he was an evildoer. It wasn't because he was a murderer, he was a terrorist, or he was doing all kinds of evil things. No, he was preaching the gospel. In verse number 17, look at his attitude. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, he said, you know what? If I am an offering, like an Old Testament sacrifice, he says, if I'm offered upon the service and the sacrifice of your faith, he said, that's okay. He said, if this is what God wants for me, that's okay. The Apostle Paul had a good attitude in the midst of persecution. Yea, if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy. I joy and rejoice. He said in Philippians 4:4, Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. In 1 Thessalonians 5:16, it says, Rejoice evermore. In 1 Peter 4:13, But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when His glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad with exceeding joy. As a child of God, one of our obligations, I believe, not only should we be radiant and expectant and wise, but we ought to be joyful. Joyful that we had the opportunity to serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Joyful that we've had the opportunity to be a partaker of His grace. Joyful that we've had an opportunity to maybe lead a little boy or a little girl to the Lord. Be joyful the fact that God has given you children that you can influence them for the Lord. Amen? There's so much to be joyful for. And so much to be thankful for. Christians, graduates, we all have holy obligations, don't we? And regardless of where you go and what you do, you're going to find that those obligations are there and you're obligated. I hope and pray that God will give each and every one of us a desire and He will give us strength And He will give us determination to fulfill these sacred and holy obligations. How are you doing with your obligations? I hope you're doing well. But if you're not doing well, you ought to call out to God and say, Lord, help me. Help me, Lord, to fulfill those holy obligations. How are you doing with your holy obligation, with your Bible reading and your prayer life? By the way, don't just be a Sunday morning Christian. How are you doing with church attendance? There's things to do and classes to be taught, people to be helped. How are you doing? Let's fulfill our holy obligations. Let's bow our heads, please. With every head bowed and with every eye closed, the Lord has spoken to you. We invite you to come. Maybe you need to come today for salvation. We invite you to come and trust Christ. Maybe you just need to come this morning for prayer. Say, Lord, help me to fulfill my holy obligations. I'll be honest with you, I need to come forward this morning and say, Lord, help me to fulfill my holy obligations. And so this morning, if the Lord has spoken to you, we won't sing a verse of invitation. But this invitation is for you. We invite you to come. Father in heaven, Lord, I pray that you bless this invitation. We give it to you. Guide and direct. Help us, Lord, to fulfill those holy obligations. We ask it in Christ's name.